All right, let's get some audio going here.
So,
you should see my man Joe Domino over here. He's treating the counter like it's a keyboard.
I like it.
Yeah, I can tell. I like it too.
It's happening all the time around. This has been a banner week for me. I've got a lot of people reaching out. This is my friend Steve Heckman. He's out on the West Coast. This is an album called Legacy. It's a Coltrane tribute. And the beauty of doing the show, and I mentioned it before, is these guys reach back out. I love this album. I love it when these guys cover Coltrane, and they love it too. And I appreciate it, Steve, for sending this out. And I appreciate everybody that reaches out. There was the Jazz Thieves in Brooklyn reached out this week. A cat from Berlin reached out. That's the beauty of this. Music is a unifier. It's a good way of just getting real, my friend.
You had a jazz lover out there from where? And he shares your name?
Oh, dude. Monaco. There's a cat out there, a Domino, that was like...
Spelled the same?
Yeah, totally spelled the same. He was like, rock on, man. He even called me cousin. He said, I dig what you do. I listen to it. Yeah, what are the chances? And the weird thing is, it's just how my life works. At the same time, I galvanized an interview with the great John McLaughlin, and he's living in Monaco, too.
How do you like that?
Oh, man, that was a shared electrical storm of
jazz.
All
of a sudden, the world gets a lot smaller.
Oh, wow. You
got possible relatives calling you from across the pond. Yo, Goomba.
Yeah, Goomba. What are you doing? Faizan. Yeah, it's cool, man. It's strange, but it's very cool, you know.
All right. Tell us about this guy, Steve Heckman, that we're listening to.
Steve is a guy that's been around for years and years and years. And the interesting thing when I interviewed him was he was like, what do you think about my sound? I said, man, you're a veteran. You have a fresh sound. You've been doing this for years. And it seemed like, you know, he was kind of surprised to hear that. I don't know why. He's really, really good at what he does. He's a consistent performer. And, I mean, you know, it's not easy to play Coltrane. Listen to that bed of music below us. I mean, he's hopping on that train and rolling, literally and figuratively, he's on the train and going, man.
Oh, yeah. Smoking.
Yeah. So, yeah, Steve's a cool cat. Let me try to think. What?
Oh, I smell wood burning.
Uh-oh. Wait. Hold on a second. I smell smoke. You got anything going on in your mind?
Not so much. Just grooving on this thing. It's the first time behind the microphone that I've really spoken at any length.
Yeah.
I've had a couple of weeks ago, prior to going to Texas, I went to caught laryngitis.
Yeah.
About the time I thought I'd turn the corner, my voice left.
No.
Yeah. Maybe that happens once a year, but rarely do I totally lose it. So I got this huskiness that... won't quite go away after about 3 weeks. I've had a doctor look at it. He says, well, hey, if you want to do The Godfather, just put an Eastern accent on it. You want to do I can do that, you know, shit. Give an offer to camera fuse. Or if I want to do Bill Clinton with a Southern accent, then I can go the other way.
So you got the accents. That's the beauty of it. When I lost my voice, we did the Tom Waits show.
Yeah.
And I actually interviewed some people, and it was kind of good. I mean, it gives you a little bit of depth and bravado, and it happens, man. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, there was a time when I did. Well, I still do. What do you mean? I do radio production, and... there are times when I get a bad voice, where I'm really froggy. What I used to do is, this is the truth, whenever I had a voice that was deep down there in the throat and gravelly and everything, if there were some scripts that I'd been keeping around where I wanted to do a biker,
yeah,
or some scary big voice, or maybe a rough-hewn kind of voice, while I was talking that way, I would go ahead and do the scripts. And I had people ask me, so where are you getting these people? I said, that's me. I said, no.
Yeah, buddy, that's me.
Because that was all I could do.
Yeah.
There's a fellow named, runs a comedy shop here. Fellow I know, friend of mine named Craig Glazier here in Kansas City. He's got one of those voices. Just kind of, you know, it's a kind of a mook voice.
He
know?
Does have that voice.
Yeah, and I came up, and it was only because my voice was stuck that way for the day. I was coming off a bad cold that year, and I walked up behind him, and he was talking. and I I did him.
Oh, nice.
Walked up behind him, and I said, how you going, Craig? He turns around, he looks at me, and he goes, are you doing me?
That's awesome.
So, you know, you take advantage of whatever cards you're dealt, right?
Yeah. And if you use your voice, you know, that's what you do. You're a voice actor.
Yeah, or a voiceover artist.
That's right.
I read books to my kids. In character voices.
And there's nothing better than that. That's the apex of reading right there. In fact, I was just talking the other day. I listened to the Harry Potter series on audio, and that was spectacular. They won all kinds of awards for that. So, yeah, there's something to be said about good voice overs for books and for actors, and it's good. Uh-oh, I see we are winding down here. This might be the time to shine and say, you know what? Good night. Good night.
Good night and good luck.
Good luck.
And enjoy the music, my friends.
My friends.
Neon Jazz.